Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
I said this at the men's conference. If you're an evangelist and can keep your calendar full for 21 years, you got something to say to the church, and God's moving and leading you. So give it up one more time for Lee McBride.
Thank you, Pastor. I love you. It is so good to be here this morning. I would rather be here. Raise your hand if you'd rather be here this morning than the nicest hospital in Iowa. Raise your hand. Yeah, what about the newest prison? Raise your hand. You'd rather be here than the new. Because without Jesus, I got a high chance. That's why I'd be in one of those two places. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And isn't it good that all things, not all good things, all things work together for the good of those who seek Him and love Him. And I love what Pastor said before we got started. My name's Lee McBride. I'm a preacher's kid. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old. I'm just a storyteller. I grew up with two heroes. My dad and a man named Jerry Clower. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jerry Clower. And I've been fascinated with storytelling my whole life. I was the only kid in my neighborhood would call time out and declare it was halftime and to tackle the man with the football game because I knew what time Paul Harvey was coming on WDAK. And I just, a storyteller for Christ. And Pastor's right. It's been a busy summer. I just finished a few days ago speaking to my 100th high school football game in 40, I mean football team in 40 days. Can you say amen? Do you know how many spirit-filled Christians, Pastor, told me I couldn't do that? When I had that dream about, I would call it water break ministries. I asked a coach to give me one water break, 5 minutes. They're on the knee, it's hot, it's during summer camp. I said, just give me one water break. Do you know how many spirit-filled Christian people tell me, you can't do that, you can't go to schools. In 11 years I've been doing it, do you know how many schools have told me no? Goose egg. Zero. And we've done 108 years in a row. Don't let people discourage you from what God has called you to do. And what if I'd have failed? What if I'd have only done 30? That's a glorious failure, ain't it? We can't be scared of glorious failures. Oh, I'm just so excited to be here. If you have your Bible or your device, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Very familiar story. You know, people have different ideas of what beautiful is. We've all heard beauty is in the eye of the beholder. To some of you ladies, you think it's beautiful on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock when they raise those chains at the shopping center. And us dudes would rather be hit in the head every hour on the hour with a sledgehammer. Then go do that. I'm going to Rosebud, Arkansas Wednesday night, and I'm doing an event called Fields of Faith for a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and there'll be a bunch of students there, and I'm going to share the gospel. And I got a great friend in Rosebud, Arkansas, and he raises cow dogs. And about 2 years ago when I was there, he said, come here right up to the barn. I got to show you something. This is a big grizzly Adams Burley guy. I wouldn't fight him with a bush axe. He's a bad man. And he walked into that barn and he come back and he's cradling this little dog. He said, ain't it the prettiest thing you ever saw? I said, no. It looks like a Brillo pad. His eyes ain't the same color. His ears ain't lined up. No, that's an ugly dog. But not to him. You know, it really probably doesn't matter to you what I would consider beautiful. And we probably don't really, it's not too big a deal what people consider beautiful, but what about what Christ calls beautiful. Matthew 26, verse 6. I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to come back and work through it together. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." I got to stop. These are the same dudes fixing to sell Jesus for a handful of coins, and they're worried about selling something for the poor. Verse 10. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will always have me. And when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Here we are, Indianola, Iowa, 2,000 years later, telling her story. It's a very, very beautiful passage of scripture, and it's full of interesting spiritual treats. First of all, I tell people all the time, when I graduated high school, I used to tell all the guys I graduated high school with that graduated with honors and got academic scholarships, I used to tell them all the time, "I'm just as smart as you. I just don't try as hard as you. You're not smarter than me." Then I went to Bible college and took Greek and Hebrew, and I tried my very best, and I left there with a very solid C minus and was glad to get it. I tell people all the time, if you don't know how to exegete scripture, that's fine. Let me give you one good Bible study tip. If you come to something that doesn't make sense, stop until you figure it out, no matter how long it takes. And Matthew 26, verse 6 doesn't make sense. It says, first of all, they were in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper. That doesn't make sense. If you know anything about leprosy in the time that Matthew 26 was written, if Simon had leprosy, he wouldn't be at his house. When you had a boil on your skin and the high priest declared you unclean, your life changed forever. Now, we probably understand infectious disease better than we ever have, but I don't know if we fully comprehend what it was like to have leprosy in Matthew 26. Here's what would happen. He would declare you unclean. You could never touch your spouse or your children or your grandchildren again, ever. No goodbye hugs, no goodbye smooches on the cheek. You were separated. They take your clothes and burn them. They give you something to wear, and you'd have to live in a colony where there were only people who had leprosy. You couldn't drink out of the same streams. You couldn't wash your clothes out of the same rivers or creeks. I mean, leprosy destroys intimacy. They couldn't stop you from loving your family, but you would never touch them and be intimate with them ever again. Matter of fact, I read about this law. This was not the neighborhood, the homeowners association. This wasn't a suggestion or a city ordinance. It was a mandate that if you had leprosy and you walked a common road, you had to take a noisemaker with you. Some people believe it was like a makeshift bell. Some people believe it like it was a bag of bones that they clacked together. And when you saw somebody coming, you had to make noise and say three times loudly, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so that people would know you were a leper and they could keep a safe distance from you. So if Simon had leprosy, what is he doing at his house? And if Simon's there, what are they doing there? But when you study that scripture, you know what you're going to find out? That the blood of Jesus Christ can make what is unclean clean. Can you say amen this morning? Is there anybody in here that had a wicked, deceitful, and selfish heart, but the blood of Jesus Christ made what was unclean clean? Is there anybody in here who has confessed their sin, repented of their sin, and Jesus has forgiven them of their sin and cleansed them from all unrighteousness? The blood of Christ can make what is not clean, clean. Somebody else was there now. Theologians, there's a little bit of controversy, but I've studied it for a long time, and I believe in my heart that John 12 is just a different account of the same house. It may not be. It may not be. I believe it is. But even if it ain't, the story's so close, it doesn't matter for me to make this point. Somebody else was there who had a physical ailment. Anybody know who else was there? Lazarus. Lazarus had a very serious physical ailment. Does anybody remember Lazarus's physical ailment? What was wrong with Lazarus? He was dead, y'all. Bad as leprosy is, being dead's worse than having leprosy. Being dead, but bad as it gets. And I don't mean he died for 90 seconds, saw a light, and they put his story in guideposts. He is dead. They done had his funeral dead. They back there in the fellowship hall eating tater salad, telling Lazarus stories, dead. He's dead. Everybody in town knew he was dead. But he's at that house. How in the world? How many of you grew up as a child in church? Raise your hand if you were a child in church. Does anybody remember Vacation Bible School? Kids, isn't Vacation Bible School the best thing that ever happened to the church? I wish you could do what I do for a living and drive through the states, and you'll run into a little old rural church out in the middle of a cornfield. And VBS starts this Wednesday, and people just come from everywhere. It's one of the greatest evangelistic outreaches of the church. I love VBS. Well, I was a preacher's kid, so I had to go to all the VBSs. Every church, every denomination. And everybody knows that if you memorize the scripture every night, you got to go in the treasure chest. Y'all tracking with me? You remember that? Well, all the guys in here, not the ladies, you're too spiritual, but all the guys, what's the first scripture we memorized on Monday night? Jesus wept. It's the easiest scripture in the Bible. Y'all, I'll tell you what's funny. I went to a Episcopal church, VBS, when my dad was in Bible college, and they had candy cigarettes in the treasure chest. I found myself in a quandary. God so loved the world. I just wonder if I'm going to have to admit to Jesus what really made me fall in love with his word. I don't know if it was in Chinese handcuff or them wax lips. But Jesus wept is a scripture that is descriptive of this story. I don't know if you remember it, but let's just walk through it together. So Jesus and Lazarus' sisters have a very close earthly relationship. Jesus had been to their house to eat. Now, I don't know, but when I was a kid, some of y'all remember this. Anybody get this speech on the way to church? You ain't going home with nobody, and ain't nobody coming home with you, and don't ask. Because I'm telling you, there ain't no bigger treat for a kid than one of your buddies to come over on Sunday morning after church and take them, they'd meet their parents back at Sunday night church. It was a big deal. Jesus had been in their house. So Jesus is out of town, and Lazarus gets sick, bad sick, deathly sick. And they send for Jesus. Jesus says it'll be all right. He's just asleep. When he gets back, those sisters accost Jesus. And I believe it's their lack of faith broke his heart. I wonder if my lack of faith ever broke Jesus' heart. I wonder if he ever thought he wanted to do something big in my life, but I didn't have the faith to let him try. I wonder if anybody in here has got a Lazarus need. It's so big and so bad, and it's been around so long, you've almost quit praying. It's worn you down. I'm here to tell you, not only does the blood of Jesus Christ make what is unclean clean, the reason Lazarus is in that house is because the power of God can make what is dead live again. Can you say amen? How many, is there anybody in here would say, Big Lee, my marriage was gone. People told us to punt and start over. But God breathed life into what the world called dead, and what was dead lives again. Is there anybody in here has a business and you had a bad year? And boy, the world's saying, file and start over. But God said, hang on. It's all right, it's just asleep. And he breathed life into it. And what the world called dead is alive and thriving right now. And then we have the story of this lady. You know, I think about things weird. When I first read this story, I'm thinking, why is that called beautiful? He got 12 dudes following him everywhere he goes. They're sleeping on rocks. And he stays mad at them half the time. And we got the story of this one lady busting in this room, pouring perfume on him. Does anybody know? Too much of a good smell stinks. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is there anybody in here, grandparent or parent, that at this particular time, right now, you have a middle school boy in your house? Raise your hand. Would you help us defeat a lie of Satan to your middle school boys? Please tell them the Axe body spray ain't the same thing as taking a bath. You ought to preach Thursday night altar service at a middle school youth camp. And them boys went swimming Tuesday, so they ain't bathed all week. Knock a buzzard off a gut wagon. But we all got that friend. Ladies, I'm sure you do too, but I'm talking to the guys. We all got that one brother who wears way too much cologne. And I'm like, dude, you're giving me a headache. This room was not a big room. This lady had this jar and poured all of this perfume on Christ at once. It had to stink. Why does Christ call what this lady did beautiful and not what these men that were following him doing beautiful? Well, when you study the passage, you find out a couple things. Number one, you got to know who this lady is. And you got to remember the first time Jesus talked to her was at a well. And I don't believe in, I hate it when people say, I'm preaching an edgy word today. I don't think God's word needs our help to be edgy. As sharp as a scalpel right now. It pierces going in and come out. How much edge does it need? So I'm not one of those guys that think it's cool to use edgy words, but there ain't another word. So I just got to tell you, before the blood of Christ had made what was unclean clean in this lady's life, she was a town whore. And every man in that room knew it. And I guarantee you, she understood the nature of men. One of the reasons I think Christ called what she did beautiful is because she knew they knew her past. But she got to a point in her relationship with Christ where she didn't care what people thought near as much as what she cared what Christ had called her to do. And I'm telling you, if me and you can get to the point where we're not concerned with what people think near as much as what Christ has called you and I to do. You say, well, man, you know they're going to talk. They're going to talk anyway. Some of you visiting this church today, somebody has already rode by here and seen your car at the Pentecostal church parking lot. They're going to be praying for you at Shoney's here in just a minute. Y'all ain't got Shoney's, do you? Applebee's? Help me. Y'all got Applebee's? Pizza Ranch. That sounds like it ought to be in Eufaula, Alabama. We'll meet you over at the ranch. Hey, I got news for you. They're going to talk anyway. But you know what? I learned a long time ago, after they get through talking, I check my pulse. My heart's still beating. I don't have the time or the effort or the energy to worry about what they're saying. But when I've heard from God, I'm going to do it 100 miles an hour, fully focused. And I don't care what they say. Just like right here, I'm so honored to be at this church. This church, I'm going to be honest with you, it kind of overwhelmed me Friday night. I'm telling you, we had enough smoked meat in that parking lot to feed the United States infantry. And it was delicious. There are men in this church with black belts and barbecue. And I'm going to preach as good as I can today, and I've prayed and fasted about what to preach, and I love you, but I'm telling you, I'm not here for an attaboy. And next Sunday, I don't even know where I'll be, Crossville, Tennessee. I'm going to be preaching just as hard. I love you. And your opinion means something to me, but it don't mean near as much as what God has called me to do. We have to keep the mentality that we're going to do what he calls us to do, no matter what people think or what people say. Another reason I think he called it beautiful is because this lady only had one thing on earth worth anything. She had a jar of perfume. You know, we don't spend a lot of money on smell good at my house. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, today I'm wearing Rolo. Anybody heard of Rolo? Smells like polo. Rolo. $7. Instead of a guy riding a polo pony swinging a mallet, it's a farmer riding a donkey swinging a bush axe. But it's $7. Just squirt it a couple more times. But this one time, if I ever get to come back, I'm going to bring my wife. She would love this church. You'd love my wife. I'm 6'4". She's 5 foot. I'm serious. I don't call her sugar. I call her sweet and low. She's that tall right there. And got an Alabama smile maker puppy pull a freight train. I love y'all, but I don't love y'all near like I do her. She is my number one. You hear me? She is it. 37 years we've been married. She's a better person than me, a better Christian than me. She's just better than me, but she loves me and I love her. One time I've been on 61 foreign missions trips. I know that's hard to believe, but I promise you it's true. The toughest one I ever went on by far was in Siberia in a little country called Tuva. And GlobalNet handpicked 4 youth pastors, 4 youth worship leaders, and these specialists. And people were coming to Christ so fast when communism fell that they knew how to do church, but they didn't know how to do music, they didn't know how to do youth, they didn't know how to do children, so they would send us over there. And we got an interpreter, a missionary, there's three youth pastors besides me, and we're in a Willis Army Jeep driving around Siberia. They said, you can't eat nothing in that country. You can't take no chance. We bought 20 pounds of potatoes, and for 10 days, all we eat was boiled potatoes. When I got home, I didn't eat French fries for 2.5 years. It was tough. Man, it was tough. When we get ready to come home, I'm telling you, I am missing Wendy Wu so bad, my bones are aching. I wanted to smooch my kids, and I wanted to wrestle with my son and hug my daughter, but I was missing Wendy Wooski, Chilla Lombruski. I needed to get to the house. I wanted to snuggle up to her till my bones were aching. We fly from Kazil Tuva to Krasnoyarsk, Siberia. Krasnoyarsk to Moscow. Moscow, JFK. JFK to Hotlanta. And my crowd's going to be picking up me. We're going to Phoenix City, Alabama. I'm fired up. We get to Moscow. You know how when they pick up famous people, it'll be a dude down there carrying a sign with your name on it? Well, I was the first one down the escalator, and I said, look at him, boys. There were people down there with our names on signs. I thought, we have hit the jackpot. We have stepped off in high cotton here. We got down there, and it was our travel agent. He said, I'm so sorry to tell you, we completely messed up your flight home, so it's going to be another day. He said, but to make it up to you, we're going to send you to Zurich, Switzerland. I didn't want to go to Zurich, Switzerland. I wanted to go to Phoenix City, Alabama. I wanted to eat a chili dog, no fries, and smooth it down with a chocolate shake. I was mad. So they start trying to sell us on the trip. They said, oh, that's where they make the finest timepieces on earth. I said, it sure ain't. That right there is a Timex Iron Man. I've had it 12 years. I've washed it in the washing machine about 12 times. I lost it in the woods one time for a month. It's still working. There cannot be a finer timepiece on this earth. It was $27. They said, oh, that's where you like knives? I said, yeah, I like knives. They said, that's where they make Swiss Army knives. I have never understood a Swiss Army knife. They're kind of cutesy. I don't understand them. Why? It's got a corkscrew on it. Has there ever been one time in your life when you find yourself in a challenging situation and you thought, if I only had a corkscrew, I believe it'd help us? I've only found one use for that corkscrew on a Swiss Army knife. You know how when you open a can of Vienna sausages, do y'all know what Vienna sausages are? You know how you'll mutilate that middle one trying to set it free? How many of you have broke the tine on a plastic fork trying to liberate that middle sausage? Boy, you can take that old corkscrew, ease it down in that middle sausage and fish it out, eat all your sausages intact. We fly to Zurich, and all them other boys go on a tour of Zurich. I said, I ain't touring nothing. I'm going to go lay down. The quicker I wake up, the quicker I'm going home. And I got right by the hotel, and there was a perfume shop. And in the front window was a big, blue, twisty bottle of perfume. And it even had a atomizer. I'd never bought Smell Good with an atomizer on it before. I had one on my Roundup jug, but I ain't never had one on no Smell Good. I had $280 in my pocket. I'll never forget it. How much for the blue twisty bottle of perfume? $230. I could see Wendy smiling when I gave it to her. I said, sold. I fly 13 time zones home with a blue twisty bar. I didn't trust them with it. I thought they'd bust it. I just held it in my lap all the way home. When I gave it to Wendy, she just squalled. She milked that perfume for 2 years. You know what I thought? The things that are most precious to us, that's how we give to God. God, I'm going to go on the missions trip this year. Ain't you proud of me? Lord, I'm coming to church Wednesday night. I'm going to get involved in a small group. Not this lady. She had one thing on earth worth anything, and she broke it and gave it to Christ all at once. I believe in my heart it's symbolic of what he wants you to do with your heart. I think somebody may have lied to a bunch of people in this world and told them that we can do this progressively or in chapters. That ain't how it works. That ain't how it works. He wants your heart, no matter how dark, how broken, and he wants it all at once. He ain't interested in your He wants the whole thing. And I believe Jesus called what this girl did beautiful because she only had one thing on earth that was worth anything. And she handed it to Christ all at once.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.